today's news.
Hello, welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news stories of the day through the papers of yesterday. Well, this week, what else could it be but reshuffle? There's been a bit of reshuffling going on. You might have noticed, you might not. But we'll take that as our search term to look back in the day. Interestingly, maybe because the ministerial system is relatively modern, that whilst reshuffle does appear and reshuffling in the papers quite a bit over the years, it's not necessarily all to do with politics. I take you back to the Mona's Herald, Wednesday, June the 24th, 1914. Manx steamers. New captain, promotion for several commanders. The resignation of Captain Cowley has led to the directors of the Aldman Steam Packet Company Limited making a reshuffle of the commanders of the fleet. Don't know if you'd hear that these days in the news. The new captain is Mr. Robert Clucas, formerly chief officer of the Prince of Wales. He is to take command of the Fenella. The appointment is a popular one. Mr. William Watson, second mate of the Viking, succeeds Mr. Clucas. The following changes are also announced. The Prince of Wales, the Captain Cajean. Mona's Isle, Captain Penwell. The Mona's Queen, Captain Kane. The Ramsey, Captain Quine. Tymwald, Captain Billet. It's a word or a name you don't often hear now. Along with Cajean, actually. And Douglas, Captain Cashin. How many steam packet captains could you name these days? If we turn to the Ramsey Courier, Friday, November the 29th, 1935, our London letter, reconstruction of the cabinet. This is in the Ramsey Courier. The cabinet has been reconstructed if a reshuffling of officers may so be called. Mr. Winston Churchill, who has often been described as the stormy petrel of British politics, and who it was confidently predicted in certain quarters would go to the Admiralty immediately, is apparently not to go there, at least for the present. Sir Bolton Ayres and Monsell, who is going up to the House of Lords, is to carry on as First Lord, due no doubt to the fact that another naval conference is to open in London next week. During the long debate on the India Bill, Mr. Churchill was the most bitter opponent of Mr. Baldwin's government, and finding he could not defeat the measure, did his utmost to delay its progress. It is true that shortly after the bill reached the statute book, the member for Epping promised to cooperate in making the measure a success. It is evident that the Prime Minister does not appreciate the tactics from one who was naturally regarded as one of his chief supporters. It is probable, of course, that when the new defence programme comes up for consideration, Mr. Churchill may find himself again at the Admiralty. I think that's meant to be May rather than many. Interesting, that was reported in the Ramsey Courier, and of course before Churchill took control of the country during the war. We're staying with the Ramsey Courier, but skipping through to war years now. Friday, June the 5th, 1940, and you'd be pleased to know, possibly the most interesting reshuffle, the clergy trounced the police, a football match for the Smokes Fund. I don't think you get any of this now, realistically. A large number of spectators turned up at Tramode on New Year's Day to see the football match between the clergy and the police. I think we've mentioned that in old news before now. In aid of the funds of the Manx newspaper's Cigarette Fund for Servicemen. And I don't think you get that. Around £9 was taken at the gate, in addition to the ticket money, which is expected to considerably swell the total. Deemster Cowley kicked off, and before the match at half-time, and for the whole of the second half, spectators were regaled by a commentary from Padre Stenning, the clergy goalkeeper, and Mr. Len Dawson, on a sound broadcasting system supplied by, well, of course, Mr. T.H. Colburn, the radio engineer. I think he was in the vanguard of radio on the Isle of Man. The clergy won 5-3, leading at half-time by 4-0, after which the police reshuffled their team. The Reverend T. Elliot, Rector of Balaff, was one of the stars for the clergy, scoring 3 goals in the first half, and the Reverend J. Sykes scored the other clergy goal before the interval. Constable Cubbon and Colvin reduced the leeway in the second half, and later the referee took pity on the police and gave them a penalty. The police didn't want it, so they asked Constable J.E. Kinraid, their goalkeeper, to score if possible. Must have been a great match, this. Most of the team thought it wasn't possible, but Constable Kinraid stood about 3 yards behind the ball and then walked up to it and planted it safely in the net. As good a penalty kick as one could wish to see. Even Padre Stenning thought so. And I think he was the goalie, wasn't he? But the Padre got his revenge when the referee, with a touch of remorse, attempted to atone for his sins by awarding a penalty to the clergy. Up strode Padre Stenning. His kick wasn't so good as his rival's. Oh, the police have always got good kicking. But that same rival failed to stop it with his foot, and it bounced off into the net. Wonderful stuff. Wouldn't you like to have watched that match? Police versus the clergy. A reshuffle for the ARP was reported in the Ramsey Courier on Friday, April the 17th, 1942, midway through the war years, of course. The latest recommendations regarding the ARP control on the Isle of Man are in the process of being carried out into effect, and there is much speculation as to just what is going to happen. One thing is clear, it's that the administration of the ARP services is to be separated from the police and LMA, which is a body of special police. Such a change of control cannot really be logically resisted, because there was no particular reason why senior officers of the LMA should have an oversight of the work of the air raid wardens. And indeed, this very fact appears to have given rise to friction in other parts of the island, though not in Ramsey. Here, the police, the LMA, the air raid wardens, and the other ARP services have worked in perfect harmony, and there's been total absence of friction and unpleasantness. Now the police and LMA are apparently to work under one control and the ARP services under a separate and distinct control. But of course, when their services are required, all will work together as one unit, each fitting in with the other, which is how you would hope it would work. Post-war now into the Isle of Man Times, Friday, July the 25th, 1958. Governor or MHK as head of cabinet. Recommendations to be debated. Reforming of the Legislative Council. If the commission appointed to consider Manx constitutional reform accept the recommendations of the Keys Constitutional Committee, a member of the House will supplant the Lieutenant Governor of the island as chairman of the Executive Council, or Manx Cabinet, as it is sometimes called. This is one of the most important recommendations, which will be debated by the Keys next Tuesday. Others are a reshuffle of the Legislative Council, whereby the two Deemsters would go, the Governor would appoint four members instead of two at present, and the Keys six members instead of four. More important than the personnel in the Council is that the upper branch would lose its present power to veto a measure by rejecting it. A recommendation provides that where a bill is approved by the Keys but is rejected by the Council, it shall be possible for the Keys to approve it afresh after the lapse of 1 year. And if approved, it shall become law irrespective of the attitude of the Council. The committee was appointed by the Keys in January to make recommendations on the future constitution of the island, such recommendations to be debated at public sittings of the House of Keys, in order that the people of the island and the commission inquiring into the constitution may be aware of the views of the Keys. Chairman of the committee is the Speaker, Sir Joseph Qualtro, and the other members are Messrs H.C. Carouche, G. Taggart, E.C. Irving and A.H. Simcox. The full text of the committee's recommendation is as follows. The Legislative Council is a necessary component of the Constitution. It should not be directly elected by the electorate. It should consist of A, the Governor, as chairman with a casting vote, B, four members appointed by the Governor, C, six members elected by the House of Keys. Any person eligible for election to the House of Keys should be eligible for election or appointment to the Legislative Council, but the Deemsters should not be eligible. The Lord Bishop and the Attorney General should be eligible for appointment to the Legislative Council. The terms of appointment or election should be 8 years, as at present. 1958, that, and I think still the debate about constitutional reform and the upper house, rages on a mere, 70-odd years later. And finally, reshuffling, well, more often than not, it's football in the Isle of Man papers, certainly in the papers of yore, maybe not so much the papers in the last 30 or 40 years or so. The Green Final, Saturday, October the 20th, 1962. St George's versus Laxey. It was a reshuffled and powerful-looking St George's that received Laxey, a team that had to denude its combination side to make up its strength, but it was hard to see the difference in the first 15 minutes. St George's had all the scoring chances and missed them. Sharpshooter Frank Cannell missed two passes and tripped when another spot-on pass was heading his way. Joe Cannell wasted one over the bar and Christian worked hard to set up a shooting position and went wide. Then Frank Cannell failed a fourth time, but this time it was a daring challenge by Laxey goalkeeper Neil that robbed him. St George's were steadily on the offensive, but their finishing was poor. Oh dear. Laxey looked likelier to score in their rare attacks. A move initiated by Pilling and pushed through by Gilmore sliced through the St George's defence, and in a goalmouth mix-up a fullback had to clear the goal line. But Laxey made their mistakes too. Cowan failed to get his head to a high pass just outside the goalpost. But St George's made the worst mistakes. Frank Cannell and Shaw failed badly, and only Christian seemed to be troubling the increasingly confident Laxey defence. Cannell was the worst offender, oh dear, and towards the end of the half missed two first-class chances. And then finally it notes, suddenly Colin Shaw found his range. At 34 minutes, just after a point-blank shot that nearly flung Neil back into the net, he came back to walk around the goalkeeper and take meticulous care to walk the ball into the net. As you would, I suppose. Reshuffling, perhaps more political now than of yore. Would we hear of a reshuffle of captains at the Steam Packet these days in the papers? I think not, but I don't know. Either way, it is certainly old news, political or otherwise. Until next week, cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.